Mother in law, and we went to Birmingham to have Thanksgiving with my sister, who's here tonight. Flew to Tampa and started this tour. I did 2 nights there, and then flew to Boston and rented a car, and I've been driving ever since. I'm on the way to Boston here. Tonight was the 6th night straight of 6 in a row, and I fly tomorrow in Portland. I do 2 shows there, in Seattle, and Bassa Nala, and I'm going to sleep until 7. But in the meantime, I'm so excited. Tonight is my Christmas present to myself. I bought myself a piano.
You a love song in the back of a Bible, in the back of a Bible. A love song for you, and I ain't no authority about what it says. Thank you. or a car or a train. There's gonna be some fine times, there's gonna be some pain. In the end, it's a silhouette framed by the sun. western sky. I think about Grand Canyon, and I lift my glass and smile. Lift my glass and smile. This was my idea of a children's song before I had kids. When they fall out, Uncle Disney gonna be some changes made. Pointing fingers, asking questions. 50 years of decisions made. When they fall out, Uncle Disney, all the students gonna be just fine. America's just a giant theme park. Only mouse ears will get in line. When they thaw out Uncle Disney, boy, won't he be surprised. Cartoon cures for all our cancers, thunder clouds in the Florida skies.
Follow the list of beer.
Here,
I feel a beer coming. long. I'm having so much fun, it's taking me different places than I was thinking about. Let's do once upon a time, around the time that I was starting the drive-by truckers, and by the way, that's my day job. I play in the drive-by truckers, and that's the best day job ever. So does Jay. And about the time we first started the band, I was right before what led to me starting the band. And first of all, it was like my evil scheme to try to get to play with Cooley again, because he and I had been in three bands before and had broken up, and I wanted to play in a band with him. So I thought, well, what kind of band would he want to be in? And so that's what I tried to put together, hoping it would work. It kind of worked. We've had this, like, we're like in the 26th year, I think, or something like that. No, 27 years in June 10th for Drive By Truckers. Cooley and I hit 38 years in August. That's some fucked up shit, isn't it? You know how bad the Rolling Stones records sucked when they've been together 38 years? I'm just saying. I love the Rolling Stones. But I got turned on to country records by a friend of mine, a then new friend named Debbie Daughtry, and she made me these crazy mixtapes of like garage mixtapes and then country mixtapes, and I got obsessed with Loretta Lynn and Tammy Wynette, and I got fixated about Tammy Wynette, though, because it's like, you know, she's not about. And, you know, she kept her beautician's license until she died, because you just never know. She's from Alabama. And she would do the hair of the people in her band and the crew. She'd do their hair, but charge them. And doctor pay. That's a true story. I swear to God. I wish I was brilliant enough to make that up. If you ever really listen to Stand By Your Man, we're not even going to go into the whole lyrical content. That's a whole other conversation. I'm way too tired to have that one. But the structure of that song, you know, like songs, they have verse, chorus, bridge, and then maybe like another chorus and it's over. Somewhere there may be a guitar solo if it's that kind of band. You know, that's the basic structure. Variations. Stand By Your Man is verse, chorus. Then they just do the chorus again, but bigger and badass. And it's like not even 2 minutes. And it was a huge, huge hit. I'm like, man, I want to, like, that's like, it became a personal mission. It's like, I want to write a song in that, yeah, I want to write one of those. I want to do a verse, chorus. Why not? And then I want to pitch it to Tammy Wynette, and my dream is she'll record it. And so I wrote Wife Beater, which I think would be an amazing Tammy Wynette song. And then 2 weeks later, she died. And God damn it. It was a long shot anyway, but, you know, it would be awesome. So if you ever hear that song, I guess I could play it. Just picture Tammy Wynette with her hair. Incredible. Doing this song. Met him at the dance hall. He only saw his charms. His it really swept you off your feet. And then one night he's drinking, and jealousy enraged, knocked out two of your front teeth. So you come over to hide out of my place. I guess I should have killed him there and then. But you begged me not to. Now you say he's changed and you're gonna go back to him. Thank you.
bigger, you'd be better off this potato eater. You say he's changed, don't be a fool. A man like that's no good for you. A man like that's no good for you.
Junior, maybe it'll kill him too. That fucker's hard to kill, man. He fell off a fucking mountain. They built him a new bionic face. He grew that awesome mustache, beard and shit. You can't kill that fucker. He just gets crazier and crazier and crazier, but he can't be killed. I couldn't even kill him with my songwriting. This song's called Tales Facing Hunt.
Me and my brother's old lady went out and got stinking. She solved her curiosities about me by the railroad tracks. She said I reminded her of him before he started drinking. The pain in the babysitter every time she turned. Up the sunroof and smoked a big joint. We drank a bottle of tequila, a whole bunch of beer, listening to the crickets and trains. And every so often she just laughs off into narcotic ramblings. Moon and mascara. Always been a holy terror. Temptations lurking everywhere. If your mind's in the gutter, beware.
I'm sick.
I have a miracle. band, the Drive-By Truckers. We put out a new record in June, and we're going to go out in March and start really touring that thing. That's a long story, but it don't really make sense, but that's just kind of how the music business is right now. Anyway, we're going to go out in March, and we're going to tour all year on this record, and I'm really excited about it because I'm really proud of this record, and we've made a lot of records. It's our 14th album, not counting side projects and solo records and all the other, we're in the 20s somewhere. But anyway, I really am proud of this record. And we made it. You know, we spent all this time together. We play, you know, 100 shows a year on average for like all these decades. And then 2020 happened, and we literally didn't see each other for a year and a half. And then we had shows. It's like, well, we should probably get together before we play a show and make sure we still remember how to play with each other. And then we start pondering the idea of practicing. Now, this band never, Drive-By Truckers, we never practice. We just don't do it. Cool and I have played together a really long time. We had a band in the 80s. We practiced a whole lot. We just don't need to practice. It's better if we don't, trust me. And, you know, we're surrounded by really amazing people who can just wing it. It's like, hang on, here we go. And it's awesome. And that's part of what, we don't do a set list. We don't practice. We show up and the magic happens, or it don't. But whatever, it's, at least it's real. But we should at least see each other and get reacquainted musically before we start playing shows after a year and a half. And so we thought, well, hell, I've written a few songs during the most horrific year and a half of my life up to then. And Cooley had written a couple of really great ones, and it's like, let's get together and like play our new songs and maybe demo them and see what we're looking like for maybe making another record at some point. And so that's what we did. We booked 3 days and we went in and we made our new record. And at the end of the third day, Cooley, who's not given to a lot of compliments, was like, well, I think we just did it. I think this is a record. I say we just mix it and put the motherfucker out. And I'm like, fuck yeah. So that's what we did, and that's Welcome to Club 13. And I'm really proud of it, and it's out. And we'll sell it to you here if you don't know it yet. I'll even come out and write on it. But this song's on it, and I wrote it after the death of a friend during the pandemic. And this song's called We Will Never Wake You Up in the Morning. Of your never-ending bender, eyes
and smiling like the haze across the skyline. You down another glass, then drift off from our grasp. We will never wake you up in the morning. We will never wake you up in the morning. And the heaven that awaits you is the bar that never closes, and lying across the floor to take for everybody's nose. Thank you.
Talking earlier about my friend Wes Freed, who did the artwork for our band, and that's such a simplistic way of describing him because he was like one of the most beautiful people I've ever known. But so when he died, generally I started writing songs when I was 8, basically as a way of dealing like with the bullshit I couldn't quite deal with, and that's what I did. I wrote songs about it. And I wrote a lot of songs. I wrote a lot of shitty songs for a long time. I wrote a lot of fucking songs. And I would sit in class and I'd write songs, and then I'd make bad grades and I'd get grounded, so I couldn't do anything, so I'd write more songs. And I'd go to school and write more songs and get in trouble, and that's what I do. So when Wes died, it's like, well, I'm gonna write like the Wes Freed song. And I spent 2 months driving myself crazy and writing it and rewriting it and rewriting it and rewriting it and rewriting it. I mean, like, I've never spent that much time on any 20 songs before as I spent on this goddamn song. And I just hit the wall, and it was just making me more and more depressed. And then one day I had this epiphany. It's like, well, there's obviously not going to write a song about this guy because he was far too much great shit going on at one time for that. Best thing I could do is try to write a song that he would love. And so that became the goal, and I think I nailed it. I knew him pretty well, and I know what he liked. And I think this is it. This is the Ballad of Cecil McCobb. I do still need my cheat sheet, although I don't really use it. first time I play it without it, it's just going to be a disaster. So we're going to have it tonight. Take us for a spin, spin them round and round, they say, let the devil have his day. When you're here, we'll cabaret and close the bars again. You'd say it was fun while it lasted, sing it pretty, you magnificent bastard. Flying cats and Hickster sings, Wilder's eyes don't miss a thing. Keep the owls on burning green as we tear up the town. Skeletons climb from the well, your house in Mechanicsville. Richmond sure can cast a spell when the sun goes down. Drowning in the teardrops of your moon girl, making sense of a world that spins without you. Spectacular while it lasted. One day short of 25 years ain't enough. Gothic birds fly through the trees and words that bring us to our knees. Couldn't live without all of these visions you made clear. 5 a.m. goddamn it all, no good news from early calls. God just didn't have the balls to leave you with us here. Thank you.
Yeah.
Spooner Olam. Daddy needs a drink to deal with all the beauty, to deal with all the madness, to keep from blowing up. Daddy needs a drink to dial the badness, to execute his gladness on the fullness of his heart. Daddy needs a drink to keep the wheels from rubbing, to compensate for nothing or nothing going on. Daddy needs a drink, so Mom flicks one quick. Pour it nice and strong with your cleaning outfit on. Daddy needs a drink, so Mama fix one quick. Pour it nice and strong with your cleaning outfit on. Sound of years my daddy spending over what the banker done. up some Nana pudding and a walk around the farm. Show a few from a key town hill and ask him how it feels to lose the last thing on earth that's real. I'd rather lose my legs and arms or the bury his body in the old sinkhole. Bury his body in the old sinkhole. Bury his body in the old sinkhole. Cause I'm tired. I'm tired of waiting around for the trickle down. Church on Sunday. Look the preacher in the eye. Young enough to not know those pieces fit together, nothing to fall back on but a knife. And on the east side of town, by those burned out factories, blasted Here Comes a Regular on 10, I had an epiphany, a moment of clarity, driving all alone at 4 a.m. Since sees a vast Montana sky. We saw head on our way to see replacements. We hydroplaned, caught the road in time. That guy in I-10 driving east as we were westbound in Florida, 2000 April 9. That 10-degree decline headed down Teton Pass, coolies driving, snow and solid ice. That meteor that fell on our way to Idaho as we drove on past a near flame. As we drove on past the near flaming demise. City winery, but for the next about 15 or 20 minutes, this is about to be city tequilery.
Luthier, who's out in Santa Fe now, but he's been at this for a bunch of years before that. And he basically basically takes these old guitars and he's basically recycling. He reuses all the wood and the really beautiful stuff, but he makes these amazing new guitars out of the old wood. It's all regraced and they play and sound
pure.
So anyway, this is, they did the Gene Autry guitars for probably 20 or so years, but the first year was the only year they had like a solid spruce top, and I got one of those. So,
oh, let's do that one.
You want to do it?
Oh, yeah, we got to do it. I feel for them. This is my this is my favorite song in the whole world, and I used to hear this song on AM radio, and I thought it was Carole King, and I like Carole King.
So did Carole King, I think. She thought it was.
She's still waiting for that check. And then my infinitely cooler cousin, when I was 12 and he was 15, turned me on to Todd Rundgren's Something Anything album, and I got obsessed with it. And this song was on it, and it's like, oh, it's that fucking song. Okay, wow. And it's been my favorite song ever since. So it's my Christmas present to me. We're gonna do this tonight, and I'm gonna try to hit the high note. It's really high. 1972, baby. Something Anything. Todd Rundgren. Thank you. Y'all want to hear a story?
Yeah.
So I alluded earlier to my day job, drive-by truckers. We've played 3,000 shows. We've played over 3,000 shows. That's fucking amazing. To put that in perspective, I'm pretty sure Bruce Springsteen has not played 3,000 shows. The Ramones stopped at around 2,800. And I guarantee you the Rolling Stones have not played 3,000 shows because they got rich way too early for that. But the drive-by truckers have played 3,000 shows. And it's all got to start somewhere. So I'm going to tell you all about the first time we ever toured. We played some weekends. We played the Star Bar a bunch. And lots of foot clubs and Athens. Oh yeah, the fucking Star Bar. Don't let them close that. Oh yeah, yeah, straight. But we wanted to tour, you know? We were ambitious. We had a 45 out in 1997. And a bumper sticker that said Mama ran off of the drive-by truckers, and we wanted to go spread the word from town to town. But unfortunately, our only mode of transportation at the time was a 1978 Plymouth Voyager. Five bands owned it before us. And I think about the third band, it earned the nickname the Huffer. And I've done some stupid shit in my life, but I've never done anything as stupid as taking off on a 1,000-plus-mile journey in something called the Huffer. But we had this dear friend, Dave Marr. He played in a wonderful band, the Star Room Boys. Y'all remember the Star Room Boys? Dave Marr came from Chicago. He looked more like a glam rock vampire than a country singer, but he had a perfect baritone voice, and he wrote country songs that sounded like mid-60s George Jones, Heartbreakers. And he had the voice to back it up, and he had a great band, the Star Room Boys, and they were wanting to tour too. And they had just bought a van. They bought a used First United Baptist Church van with First United Baptist Church painted down the side, which he assured me meant that they would never get pulled over by the cops. And he knew some friends up north, and he booked this tour, but his drummer wouldn't go, and our drummer knew their songs. And they had a pedal steel player named John Neff, who also played in the drive-by truckers. So we had, therefore, two shared members, and they had a van. And so the idea is we'd just combine our gear and do the best we could, and we'd fit as much gear and as many people in that First United Baptist Church van as possible. And then the rest of us would find a way to get there. And our bass player, his name was Adam Howell at the time. He was 6'10". Any of you who went to like Bible school in the 70s, remember what Jesus was supposed to look like? Okay, picture if he's like 6'10" and went to a few Grateful Dead shows. That's what Adam Howell looked like. He's a beautiful man. He had a voice like an angel. He wrote Late for Church. Oh yeah. But he was 6'10", and we had to figure out where to put him. And I had a Honda CRX with two seats, and there were three people that weren't going to fit in that van. But Cooley had just moved to Durham, North Carolina around that time with his brand new wife, Ansley. And she had a fairly new Mazda Protege that she was willing to let us take on the journey. So I drove Adam up to Durham, and we got into Cooley's wife's Mazda Protege, and we took off for the first show in Columbus, Ohio, which Cooley did the math and assured us was 4.5 hours from Durham, North Carolina. So 5 hours into that journey, we're somewhere on some interstate in West Virginia, mountain roads, and that's when it starts downpouring, and I'm talking just like apocalyptic rain pouring on that poor little Mazda Protege, and it's winding around those mountain roads, and it's going, and windshield wipers are out near taking care of everything, and 18-wheeler would pass us, and it would hide your plane just enough to where your butthole goes. And around that time is when I wrote this verse. 90 miles an hour in the West Virginia rain. They're waiting in Columbus and we're later than you think. Cooley's at the wheel, Adam's at the brake, and jammed in the backseat with my head between my knees. Jammed in the backseat with my head between my knees. Jammed in the backseat with my head between my knees. Got the shits, jitters, bad coffee, cigarettes, and you couldn't drive a nail up my ass with a sledgehammer. White knuckle, West Virginia. Ohio, just in time to load directly onto the stage and play our 45-minute set for the 13 people we paid to get in that night. We finish our set and we go backstage and we meet our hosts for the night. They were a band called the Lily Bandits. The Lily Bandits were a great band in that era in the Columbus, Ohio area, and they were nice enough to host us for the night, put us up in one of their house. Unfortunately, one of the Lily Bandits had some preschool kids who'd come home with a kindergarten disease. And of course, what member of the band is the one that actually lives in the house? That would be the one with the kids. That's where we all stayed that night. So we get up the next morning and we drive to Chicago to play the Empty Bottle. First time the Drive-By Truckers ever played Chicago. That was momentous. Good crowd, good show. It's like, fuck yeah, this shit's gonna work out. And I woke up the next morning for our drive to Lansing, Michigan, and that's about the time that that kindergarten disease started winding its way through that First United Baptist Church van. And I'm in the Mazda Protege, and we're driving along the Great Lakes. Did I mention this is about the time that it starts snowing? It's December. It's December, motherfuckers. It's December. It starts snowing. We're driving to Lansing, Michigan. Snow's falling like crazy. I'm from Alabama. I didn't know this yet. I didn't know about this kind of snow. The Great Lake, there's like a layer of ice on the very top. The wind picks it up. It drops it on the interstate for that Mazda Protege to slip and slide and slip and slide and slip and slide and slip and slide all the way to Lansing, Michigan. We get to Lansing, Michigan, and there's 10 feet of snow. I'm from Alabama. I've never seen 10 feet of snow. Holy shit, no one's going to come out. This is going to suck. We drove all this way. We risked our life and limb. We're going to play for nobody. It's Lansing, Michigan. It's December. There's 10 feet of snow. No big fucking deal. The place was sold out. It was incredible. It was an amazing night. We sold a ton of 45s, we sold a ton of bumper stickers. It's all gonna work out. I woke up the next morning for our drive to Buffalo, New York, and that's the day I came down with a kindergarten disease. Now, Lansing, Michigan to Buffalo, New York isn't really that big a deal as the crow flies. The crow don't smoke nearly as much dope as the Drive-By Truckers. And we were holding, and we weren't about to cross the Canadian border with what we were holding. So we had to drive down to Cleveland, Ohio, then back up to Buffalo, New York. And And that's when that snowstorm became a full-scale blizzard. And they're closing the turnpike, and they're telling people to go home and stop at the nearest motel. And we ain't stopping. We ain't got no money for a motherfucking hotel. We got to get to Buffalo. We got a show to play. So, and I'm sitting in the back of that Mazda Protege puking into a cooler. And that's when I wrote this verse. 20 miles an hour in Pennsylvania blizzard. It don't take no wizard to figure this out. North in the summer, south in the winter, Buffalo, December, what kind of dumbass shit is that?
Thank you.
got some albums and posters for sale. I'll come out in a little bit after I catch my breath and sign anything you want and all that. And be nice to the person taking your money, because that's my sister. So be extra nice, because she's the best. Love y'all. Thank you so much.
The Z-Man with Patterson Hood and Jay Gonzalez. The City Winery, Atlanta, Georgia. 12/14/2022. SOB Sideboard. DFC, KFC, ZFC, AARP. Shop CCM4Bs, Lunatech V2, Sound Devices 722. Approximately 45 feet from stage, 6.5 feet in the air. In the sweet spot for show number 371 of 2022. And dedicating tonight's show to Ernie Magazzini, recovering from surgery. Thinking about you, buddy. Sending prayers.